Hey friends, welcome back to another coaching episode on the podcast. Today I was coaching Hala. She was asking for some help with her Facebook group name. She had a group that was previously just a challenge group, and she was trying to migrate it into something that was just this evergreen free community for people to come and join. And she was really struggling to figure out what the best name was. And so we talked about some naming strategies, some of the things that you really need to take into consideration when you're choosing a name that people are going to come find and by themselves and join your group. So if you have been struggling to name your group, or maybe you're not in love with your name, maybe you are in love with your name, but people are not your group's not growing, this should be a good challenge for you to just make sure that that name is serving you well. So this is going to be a really great practical episode, lots of great tips for you to take away and start implementing, evaluating your own name to make sure that it is optimized and serving your group well. So let's get into this coaching episode. This is Simple Facebook Group Strategy with me, Sarah Beisel. Do you want to know how to set up and optimize your Facebook group? Do you need a content strategy you can actually stick to? Are you wondering how to get new members into your group every single week? Then you, my friend, are in the right place. Over the last 3 years, I've developed simple strategies for optimization, growth, and engagement so you can create a Facebook group that actually supports your business. I grew my group from 0 to 1,500 members on my own, and I make consistent sales every single month without showing up anywhere else on social media. And I did all of this in less than 30 minutes per day. I believe that when we pour into our community strategically, we pave the way for the kind of relationships that turn into paying customers. So if you're ready to start your Facebook group, create an engagement strategy, and develop a growth plan so you can finally have the foundations to market your business successfully, grab a coffee and pull up a chair. Let's do this. You're invited to join me inside Facebook Group Foundations. This is a 6-week course to teach you how to create an engaged Facebook group. You'll learn how to start and optimize your group, grow your community, and build relationships with your members. Go right now to sarahbeisel.com/Facebook Group Foundations. That's sarahbeisel.com/Facebook Group Foundations. Can't wait to see you there. Hi, Hala. I'm very excited to sit down and do this audit with you. So just as I'm pulling your group up, do you mind just telling me a little bit about the group, the purpose, why it exists and what you're doing with it, to give us some context?
Yes. Well, so the reason I created it at first was I was starting to do challenges and trying to find, so I'm a life coach. I'm a life coach for Christians. And so I started the group because I was offering free weeks of coaching, or like free challenge weeks, that you see people doing, trying to grow the group that way. And so the name of the group has kind of changed depending on what challenge I'm doing. Right. And that's how it's grown. It's like 185 people or something now. So that's kind of how I've grown it, is through doing some challenges.
Okay.
Now I'm wanting to shift to be more of a consistent servant within there. Like, I love the language that you use of, like, you mm-hmm. know, the 30 days of service with your challenge. And so right now I'm doing a challenge, a 30-day challenge. Uh-huh. I'm just kind of showing up live every single morning. But I have goals of like weekly serving, weekly doing live, almost like coffee chats with people, me having a coffee chat and kind of coaching live. So I'm really wanting it to be a space where I can find new clients eventually, which it has been that for me, but more regularly rather than like 1 week all in. Like, I want it to just be like this consistent, steady flow of energy rather than exhausting and then pausing and not being in the group for a long time and then all in.
For sure. Okay. Yeah, I love that. And so just to check, because you're saying they're kind of in the middle of preparing for this transition. So once you're on the other side of that transition, what is the group gonna look like in terms of what you're gonna be doing or helping people with inside of the community? So I guess what is it that you're doing in your business with people? Yes. You said it's your life coach. So what specifically are you working on?
Yeah, so I work specifically with Christians and supporting them, really organizing their life rhythms, their thoughts around God, and kind of overcoming different mental blocks. So rather than being led by emotion, societal standards, things like that, I support them led by Jesus. And what does that look like for them?
Love it.
So, I would be doing lives of like examples of rhythms that I coach people around, or, you know, maybe a live 15-minute, 30-minute coaching session with someone to help them overcome a block.
Yeah.
So yeah. Is that helpful?
Yes. That's really helpful. Thank you. Yeah. Cool. I love that purpose a lot. That's so good. So I guess the first thing before we jump into a couple of the audit specific things, and we can focus on whichever area you feel like would be the most helpful for you. But I just wanted to touch on that consistency piece for a second, because I love the idea of doing things weekly as well. And sometimes that can feel kind of overwhelming when you're getting it set up, right? So I would suggest in the beginning, maybe just trying to do something once a month until you're in that established rhythm, just because like as you're transitioning the group into the way that you want it, and you're, you know, fixing all of these little pieces, and you're trying to establish that new culture for what that's going to look like as a kind of consistent permanent group rather than like a challenge group, there's just going to be some other bits and pieces that you're working on to do, right? And so to make sure, like, I'm sure, as you know, because you help people with rhythms and all of those things, right, sometimes it can take a little bit of time and practice to get those rhythms established to where they are just part of what we do rather than like a new thing. So maybe for the first couple of months, even just give yourself that challenge of doing a live once a month, just as you're adjusting and getting things set up. And then once you feel like all the other little bits and pieces are in their places, it's all working, you know, you've got whatever automations you want set up, all the scheduled posts, like, and you're in the rhythm of the other bits and pieces, then totally jump into doing something weekly. Because then, you know, like doing stuff like this, it's great and it's very simple once you're in the habit of it, but it can take a little bit of time to get into the rhythm of create the event, promote the thing, get the people there, pick the topic, do the things, right? So even starting out with like a once a month, just as you're getting into the habit, and then even just for a couple months. And then once you're like, okay, the group is good to go, I've got all the other little bits and pieces taken care of, let's do this. I'm committed to doing it once a week. Let's just commit to it and make the plan. And then you can work on that rhythm, right? So working on like one thing at a time. So I just wanted to, because I think that'll help sometimes with the, rather than going all in and then burning out and then all in and then burning out. Because I know that that's a very real thing that many, many people go through. We're all there with different parts of our life and business and all the things. We've all been through that at least once, I'm sure.
Yes.
So I think that might be a helpful way, is starting out with a slightly slower rhythm and then ramping it up once it's good to go. So just something for you to consider as you're transitioning all of the things. So onto the kind of audit pieces. So I've got your group pulled up here, and there's a couple different things that we can look at. What do you think would be what thing do you think you need the most support with, or you have the most questions around out of these like audit pieces, or anything else related to like migrating the group over to this new vision?
Honestly, I think like as simple as it is, the title of the group has been really challenging for me. I've played with so many different names of it, depending on the challenge that I'm offering. Like at one point it was called the Conversations with God Challenge, because that's what I was doing. And so people knew what they were getting into.
Yeah.
I've called it like the HRS Life Coaching Challenge Group before, but people don't know what that is.
Yeah.
And so I'm just trying to figure out like, what is a good universal name that people would understand and recognize? And it's fine if you're like, I don't know the exact, you know,
What I can do is give you some guidance on some things to think about. Cause sometimes the names do just pop up and they're great, but it can take a little bit of journaling and brainstorming and experimenting. So I can talk you through some principles or things to think about as you're choosing a name. So yeah, a couple things that you want to consider is you need the name to be searchable to a degree. Your keywords can go in the description and in other places. So it doesn't need to be like, your name doesn't need to be like keyword stuffed, because that's not the most important thing, but you want to make sure that it's something that people would be searching for. Or when they see the name, it's like, okay, that makes sense. I know what I'm looking at here. So that would be the first thing. The second thing, I was just talking about this morning in a different group, actually. you want to make sure that your name is something that people can belong to. So titling a group is slightly different from titling other things, because like the Conversations with God Challenge is a great name in terms of a challenge, right? It's like, oh, that's cool. It's intriguing. Like, I want to know what that is and what that looks like. But as like a kind of community group, if I read that, I say, can I belong to a Conversations with God challenge? Now, obviously you wouldn't be putting the word challenge in the title, but just as an example, right? So when people are looking at joining a group, they're really thinking like, is this a place that I can belong? Is this a place that I can participate? Those are really what's on people's minds psychologically. Because, you know, when we join a community, it's somewhere that we don't just want to go there to learn stuff. We could go to a blog to learn, go to a YouTube video. There's many places that we can go to learn information and learn tips and tricks and all of those things, right? So the difference with a community is the fact that I can contribute, right? I can ask questions. I could even share, you know, my ups, my downs, my struggles, my wins, all of those things. I could even share a piece of content if I think it's going to be valuable and it can serve people, right? So there's really this different level of participation in a group that people are really seeking. And so it's really important right from the get-go that we help convey that part of the community aspect from the name, right? And so it's getting at exactly what you're saying. How do you make it broad enough that it's kind of this all-encompassing name? So those are some things that just to keep in the back of your mind as you're choosing your name is that someone's going to look at this and go, can I belong here? Like, is this somewhere that is me, right? So that gets on to, I guess, one of the things that I think would be really good for you to think. So in my course, I teach two different like naming strategies, and one is based on the who, and the other is based on the what. And I think for you, and now you could choose either route because you know your business better than I do at this point. But I feel like the who route might work quite well for you because even although we're looking at a very specific method of rhythms and having that aspect, I think really your group is going to be distinguished by the fact that the type of person that's going to be attracted into there, which is that woman that is seeking to, you know, have, you know, daily conversations with God, as you've got it on your cover photo right there. It's something that someone that's inviting their faith into every part of their life, not just like the Sunday person. It's like, this is something that I'm desiring. And so I think a name that can really connect with that person is going to be a really good route for you to go, because they're going to see that name, whatever name you end up choosing, and they can like relate to it, and they'll go, yeah, that's me, that's the person that I want to become, or that's the person that I'm trying to be. And they're going to want to go be with other people that are already either living that life or working towards that life, and that's going to really attract them into the community. So do those things that I've covered make sense? I just want to pause and make sure.
Hopeful. I really appreciate that shift.
Okay, cool. Amazing. So yeah, I don't know. Yeah, like names off the top of your head is always going to be a little tricky because brainstorming sometimes takes a bit more of a reflective practice. But it could be things, you know, like daily, like Christian woman. I think that the phrase Christian woman might be good to include in there somewhere, or at least, or, you know, some variation of that, because those will be things that people are searching for, like Christian communities specifically. And then just thinking about like what it is that you do in your business. What are those rhythms look like? What are some other words or phrases that people are relating to or looking for? How could you incorporate some of like what that looks like into that title? And so I think that would be a really good place for you to start, and you can brainstorm some things. And the good thing is you can always pick a title, and if you need to change it in a couple months because it's not working, that's okay. You can just change it in a couple months because it's not working. I think you're not allowed to change it more regularly than like every 28 days, I think, because obviously Facebook is trying to make sure that there's some stability in your group. But I think, yeah, once 28 days has passed, if you don't like the name of the group, it's really not working, you can just change it. I recommend leaving it a little longer than that to make sure that it's working. But if you're in this brainstorming stage and you think and you find a name that's at least functional, so you can just start working on all these other things and getting people in there and starting to build this community culture that you want. And then like a couple months later, it's like, oh, actually, I have this whole new revelation. I know what the name needs to be. Just change it. It's totally fine, right? And you can go from there. And people will not remember that you changed the name too often. Like it's fine. It totally happens. I think we get a little flustered about it because it's like, oh, are we changing the name? Is everybody going to be confused? But people, half of your group probably won't even notice. People do get notified when you change a name, but a lot of them won't even pay attention to the notification. They probably won't notice that it's a different name. And then if they do notice, they'll be like, oh, cool. And then most of the time they just move on with their lives. So
okay.
So just be reassured in this process of finding that right name. If you don't get the right thing straight away, it's okay. It's you have permission to experiment with a few different iterations until you find that one that really does fit. I mean, I've been changing my name around for a couple of years, pretty much since I started the group, to really find what encapsulates the group. And my group purpose has changed in the process. So I've had to rename as part of that journey. But now that it's settled and I have a name, and I think this name is going to stick for quite some time now, but it's taken me 2 years to get here. So it's okay if it takes a little while.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, great. Do you have any other last minute questions before we wrap up? I know that we've taken about 15 minutes, but if there's anything else that you want to ask, I'm totally here for it.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you taking the time. I think my other curious question was, mm-hmm. I know that with the questions that we have people like answer.
Yes.
We want to be trying to get an email, right, to kind of grow our email list. Is there any other question besides getting an email that you would recommend having on those questions?
Yeah, I like to do two market research type of questions, because I mean, and there's so many different ways that you can go with that, but like, because you get three options of question, or three questions that you can use. One of those, like you're saying, should always be to gather an email once you've got an email list up and running. If you're like in the super early days, obviously that's not the most important thing, but for you, yeah, you want to capture those emails. With the other two, you just want to get some information about the types of people that are joining. So it could be things like, you know, tell a bit about like who they are, what their life is like, you know, are they, you know, for you, maybe it's, are they single? Are they married? Do they have kids? Like, are they parents? Like, what is their life like? It could be some ideas. You could also be asking things that they struggle with. You could be asking things that they're desiring to achieve, their number one goal, those kinds of like anything, any kinds of questions that you would consider market research. I would put them in there because that's going to help you serve the people in your group better. So yeah, there's so many different options. So just kind of take a think about what the two best ones for you would be, the most helpful, whether they are about your person or about their struggles, desires, etc. And just choose two from there and use those. Yeah, those are the best things to do with those questions.
All right. Awesome. Thank you. Very helpful.
Quick. You're welcome.
15-minute kind of reboot. That was really great.
Yeah. Great. Well, I'm so happy. And feel free to share some of the names that you're brainstorming in the group as you're coming up with them, because I think it'd be a lot of fun to see what you're coming up with. Maybe we can offer some suggestions or some pointers or some feedback, or even just vote to see if you're struggling between choosing a couple of different ones. Like, maybe there'll be some people in there that, I imagine there'll be plenty of people in my group that are in your kind of ideal client range that could offer some good feedback. So yeah, do let us know how it goes. I'm excited to see the journey.
Thanks so much, Sarah. I appreciate you.
You're so welcome. Well, have a lovely rest of your day. We'll see you later.
All right. Sounds good. Bye.
Bye. Hey, friend. If you loved today's episode, I want to hear about it. Let's continue the discussion in my free Facebook group. Go to sarahbeisel.com/community and tell me what you thought. I would also love it if you took 30 seconds to leave me a review. Reviews help other people just like you find the show so they can create thriving Facebook groups too. It's time for me to reheat my coffee and head inside my group. I'll see you there or back here for the next episode.